Morata. Great ball, Cristiano Ronaldo! Back from COVID-19, back in business, and Juve back in front.
Brilliant ball there from Arthur into Morata, who gets on the half turn and then feeds Ronaldo through. And it's a really well taken goal from Ronaldo.
Provedel facing one of the world's very greatest players here. Ronaldo, Panenka style, makes it 4-1 Juve. And he has another for this burgeoning Cristiano Ronaldo collection.
Yo, you are listening to Stereo Serie A. Yes, Stereo Serie A. We are back for a special edition, sort of. We haven't been around for a while, and we thought it was time to come back and do what we do best, because we missed each other and we missed you. I am your host, Marco Cubani D'Onofrio, joined as always by Daniel Donato Grassi. What's up, bro?
What's going on, Cuba?
Buddy, I should be asking you what's going on, man.
Yeah, a couple of things. I don't know.
A couple of things, bro. You know what? Hold off. Because Grassi's got some news to share with the listeners. But I'm gonna ask you to hold off, because I'm going to keep the listeners guessing. At Stereo Serie A, let us know. But while you're listening to it, because we're not live, but we want you to listen to this show and get at us. We want you to know that we are still monitoring Twitter. We are still around. And we want you to let us know what you think about everything that's going on in the world of Serie A. But Grassi, before you share your news, I want the listeners to have an opportunity to guess. So if you are listening to this podcast, no cheating, tweet at us what you think the initial guess is. What's Grassi's big news? And at the end of the show, we'll get to it. Does that make sense?
That works for me perfectly.
The only condition is I'm scared that the people I am about to introduce might spoil the news ahead of time. And, you know, it's no fault of their own. I just know how excited they are. We've got the Brothers of Destruction under the same roof, but I don't believe they're in the same room. Producer Gizmo, Marco the intern, what's up, guys?
Nah, man, too much feedback on the microphones. That's why we can't be in the same room, bro.
Yeah, and we'd also destroy everything. That's why, too. That's why we have our name, Brothers of Destruction. But as Cubani mentioned, at Stereo Serie A on Twitter, we still check it. Cuba, is your account still suspended? Is that how you beef with people now on Stereo Serie A?
Yeah, you know what, man? I'm still suspended, bro. So we'll see what happens. I may end up creating a new one. I'm so disheartened. You know what I mean? So I don't know if I've built up the motivation yet to create a new one. But free Cubani on Twitter, the hashtag, let's get it trending.
What I want to know is, how are you still suspended? But then a friend of ours who used to be on this show, who tells everybody under the sun where to go and is fighting with people across the world, mainly in the States, he's pretending to be the Juve official account, is still on. I don't understand. And we all know who I'm talking about.
His account is gold. His account is gold, though. Like, some of the stuff that guy just spews out, and he's just looking for a reaction, but it's hilarious.
But how is this guy still online and Kuba's not, just for retweeting a video of somebody scoring a goal?
Anyways, what kills me with that account is, how do you troll somebody who supports your own team so hard? Like, I get trolling if you're a Juve fan, trolling Inter fans, trolling Milan fans, Napoli fans. But how do you troll other Juve fans so hard?
It takes a special kind of person, Kuba.
It certainly does. And speaking of a special kind of person, how else do you describe the... I don't want to offend Gizmo, because I don't know what to call Boz. Because Gizmo, you're the producer. Boz is what, the head producer? Executive producer? Okay. We could anoint that title to Bozy, because he is, hell, one of the co-founders of this show. Bozy, Boz, Boz. What's up, bro?
I think we need to bring back this person that you speak of for a guest appearance.
You should call him up right now.
No, right now, I know where he is. He's MIA this weekend. He's probably going to be fighting people on social media.
Yes, but you know what? Right now would be actually... No, you know why? Because he's probably a little bit too gunned up right now, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's probably not a good idea. So when he is not, we will get in touch with him. But boys, how has everybody been? It's been a wild start to the Serie A season. We don't even have an outline. That's what we're doing today. We're freelancing this. We're freestyling this because it's been so long. So much has gone on. We want to know what, one, people are thinking, but I wonder what you guys are thinking. Gross, what are your early season reactions, biggest surprises, and, you know, just early season thoughts?
Well, I'm loving Sassuolo right now. I think they're playing incredibly well. I hope that several of these players will be able to continue this form so they can be on the national team next summer at Euro 2020 that's being played in 2021. Mainly Caputo and Berardi. I think they're having incredible seasons. I believe they have the most goals scored. And you can tell that their team is firing on all cylinders, considering last weekend when they played Napoli, who's having a great season, they beat them and Caputo and Berardi weren't even in the lineup. I think Locatelli is...
I don't know what you're talking about, Gross. Never happened.
It's not a jab. I'm not trying to throw a jab. I said it was bad. It was bad. I saw a little bit of it. It was bad.
Hey, Locatelli is a superstar.
He made the leap in quality. He's made the jump. And I tweeted this out. The money that Juve wasted on Chiesa, they should have spent it on Locatelli, because Locatelli is worth every cent that somebody's going to pay for him next summer. No disrespect to Sassuolo, but there's obviously bigger sides in Italy that are going to come running for him. Juve perspective, I'm a little bit disappointed at how we started the season, dropping points to some of these lesser sides, sides that just came up from Serie B. I know we're battling with a lot of injuries, some COVID cases, particularly Cristiano Ronaldo wasn't there for a couple of games. You know, Dybala coming back from injury that he picked up that knock when we had the Champions League in the summer. And then obviously Pirlo is trying to find his best 11 or even 11 players that are fit at the moment, considering all the injuries that we have. We haven't seen Alexandro at all this year. Players trying to be integrated. Chiellini's injured on and off. Ramsey is just a piece of glass. He's broken every other game. And he's out for another 20 days. He comes, plays in the Champions League, plays a couple of minutes, drinks some water, and then he gets hurt. I think Juve has a lot of dead weight that we have to get rid of. We did get rid of a lot of dead weight in the summer, but if you don't replace this dead weight with quality, then you end up going two steps backwards instead of two steps forward. I think Pirlo is still trying to find a rhythm with this team. I hope that we can move away from the three center backs and move to more of a 4-3-3 or 4-3-1-2 formation. Whatever is going to suit having Dybala and Cristiano and Morata on all at once, and even Kulusevski.
Is Dybala now, I don't want to say has he become disposable because of the players brought in, you know, with Kulusevski and with Chiesa, like, is Dybala as pivotal as always? And are there deeper issues at play right now?
I think there are deeper issues at play. For example, Danilo is playing in one of the three at the back, and he's hopping around from the left-sided center back to the right-sided center back, back to the left-sided center back. Although I think he's been Juve's best performer this season, I think he's played extremely well. Juve still doesn't have a proper right back. Cuadrado and Danilo are not right backs that are going to help you win in Europe. They're not going to help you dominate domestically either. I think Juve has a problem at left back because, as we can see, Alexandro hasn't played all season and we don't have any coverage for him. Fabrota's come in. He's part of the under-23 squad and he's played decently at times, but you can obviously tell that, you know, he still needs to gain experience. He's still young. They need somebody, a vet, somebody of Alexandro's quality. I think there's deeper issues. I think this has to be Chiellini's last season. He just seems to be broken. Nothing, I don't want to take anything away from him. He's been an excellent servant of the club. He's been one of the top center backs in the world. He's been world class pretty much his whole life, but he can't stay fit. When Chiellini doesn't play, we all see the struggles that Bonucci has. Bonucci isn't the world-class defender that he once was. The way he was able to distribute the ball doesn't mask his defensive inabilities anymore. And also, we have the $1 million question, or the $12 million question for that matter. in Dybala because Dybala wants to make somewhere around $11, $12 million net. Is he as important as he once was? I don't think so, just because nobody is as important as they once were because of bringing in Cristiano. I mean, without bringing in Ronaldo, guys like Higuain would have probably still been at the club, right? They couldn't afford to keep both, right?
But Gross, is that short-sighted then? Because the question is, because how do you justify paying? And I get it. Look, Ronaldo is Ronaldo. And I mean, nobody, I mean, besides Messi is even comparable to him right now.
Yeah, 100%.
But how do you justify paying him what you're paying him if you're Dybala when you're looking at last year and you're like, I was probably the best player, you know? And look, 12 million euros is a shit ton of money. And if he was on other clubs, I could see them saying sorry. But when you're a club like Juve and you're paying these top salaries, I kind of see Dybala's point where it's almost like, well, if I'm your star, then pay me. But at the same time, then he needs to understand if the club wants to transfer him like they tried to do in the past, then he's got to go. You can't have it both ways. So that's the other thing.
From Dybala's perspective, and this is the way I look at it, I want $12 million. I'm the second best player on this team. Cristiano is obviously in a different class. It's only him and Messi for this era, really, right? So we'll separate Cristiano Ronaldo from the rest of the squad. Nobody on the team has the quality that he has. He's clearly better than Bernardeschi. He's clearly better than Chiesa has ever been. He's better than Kulusevski. He's obviously better than Ramsey. And if you look at guys like Aaron Ramsey and you look at Sami Khedira, who hasn't featured yet this season, and even before Higuain, Dybala was more important and better than all of these players, but yet they all made more money than him. So I can't justify giving Ramsey, who can't really stay fit ever, and I don't really agree, he was never quality, and he never justified his salary. But I can't pay Ramsey 7-8 million net, but then have a problem with paying Dybala 12 million. If you compare, that would be only $4 million more, because I think Ramsey makes around 8. Dybala is $10 million more than he is.
But where does he fit, Grassi? I think that's the biggest question. Is the formation doesn't suit him.
See, that's the problem is, right? The formation, I think clearly he has to play.
Yeah, but the problem is, you know, when you have a guy like Morata now, who's been absolutely on fire, with the, you know, I know with the Alvaro Morata with the whole VAR, every goal he seems to score, he can't stay on the side, the people in Zaghi syndrome. But when you look at it, you're saying, well, geez, you know, the wings are pretty much covered. You mentioned guys like Chiesa and Kulusevski who can play on the wings. Dybala obviously can't. You go up the middle, Morata's been clinical in front of the net. He's been scoring goals left, right, and center. You know, how do you take somebody like that out of the lineup? So, you know, I see, you know, why Juve's being a little bit hesitant in renewing Dybala. Obviously, he's a fantastic player. He's one of the true number 10s of the game. But at this point, you know, I think that's why Juve is kind of delaying a bit with this signing. Obviously, you know, COVID, you know, in March hurt their pockets as well. But, you know, just looking into the future and, you know, what the team's going to look like, you know, eventually after Cristiano Ronaldo, you hope that, you know, Dybala is part of the plans. But at the same time, if he's not playing that role in a second striker, you know, where else does he fit in the lineup? He's not going to fit in a 4-3-3.
No, I agree. He's not a 4-3-3 guy. A very big concern of mine is we could end up in 12 months' time. We obviously don't have Higuain anymore, and he was a great servant, especially the first 2 years that he played. We could end up without having Dybala, without Ronaldo, and then you're left with an attack of Chiesa, Kulusevski, and Morata. That doesn't cut it anywhere. Like, Juve would be fortunate enough to make the top four with those three up top.
I don't know. I disagree, to be honest. I think Kulusevski's a star.
I think Kulusevski is a rising star, right? And for me personally, I don't really rate Chiesa. I don't think Chiesa was ever as good as Zambrotta was. Bernardeschi was on Fiorentina.
No, but I think there's a lot more upside to Chiesa. And, You know what? Listen, it's still early, but I like the way he attacks. He doesn't cut in as much, I find, as Bernardeschi always does. I feel like he takes on guys a little bit more. I do think they're very similar in certain instances, but at the same time, they're also very different in their style of play. So I don't know. I still think it's early to kind of make that call on Chiesa. But you know what? I wouldn't be disappointed, let's say, if that's the front three. You know, obviously, if you put a stud midfielder in the middle of the park there to kind of boss the game, I think you're in really good hands. But I don't know. I just I keep, you know, seeing Dybala play and play in that center role. And, you know, I just don't know if, you know, in the future he has the role at Juve based on the formation and the guys they keep buying.
I don't think he should play the false nine, though. I don't like that position either. But I think he has a good partnership and a good understanding with Morata. They played together before. They were successful together. Personally, I think Kulusevski's best position is not on the wing, but right behind him. So if you played with Dybala and Morata up top, when Cristiano leaves, which might be in 12 months from now, and you have Kulusevski paired with those other two, you have a pretty good front three. And if Arthur's the guy that we think he is, and we expect Bentancur to continue developing, if you add another solid midfielder, or if you keep McKinney, who I think is playing excellent as well, you could have a solid front six, right? But the big problem is, I still think, is the back line. The left-back position, you need a cover for Alexandro, and you need to address the right-back position. We haven't had a proper right-back since Lichtsteiner's prime, and then because even when Dani Alves was there, his best games were when he was playing as a right wing back or a right winger. We haven't addressed those issues, and for me, Bonucci is pretty much finished. So you know you're gonna have to rely on De Ligt, right? And hopefully Demirel can make that leap in quality as well. So you have those two who are extremely young for the next 10 to 12 years, right? But I think there's a lot of holes in this team. And I don't think those holes can be addressed because of the massive salaries that we gave to certain people. Cristiano Ronaldo deserves every penny he gets, but obviously making 30 million net, it hurts your team when you don't have unlimited funds like a Real Madrid or like these English sides, right? So I think there's big issues that need to be addressed. I still think Juve has enough quality to win the title, but they're not leaps and bounds ahead of everybody. Right? Napoli kept Koulibaly. That was huge. And they added depth. That was massive. Inter is better than they were last year. I know they lost in the Champions League, and I know they didn't do well on the weekend, or they've lost some games that maybe they should have won, and they lost in Milan. But Inter is still a side, especially with Antonio Conte, who's a domestic specialist. They're a formidable side. Let's just say Juve was at 100%. Right? They're the standard. They're the max. Inter is like at 90-something. They're right there. And so is Napoli. And now look at the squad that Milan's got. So everybody closed the gap. And Cristiano's only getting older, right? And Chiellini's older.
Teams have closed the gap. And now the question becomes...
Massively, massively.
Now the question becomes, okay, and so happens we're doing this show on the day that the streak of Milan ends and they lose their first game since March. But what they've done to start the season has been truly incredible. And the question has to become, is this team a legitimate Scudetto contender? Because Zlatan Ibrahimovic is playing like he's 26 years old again.
I'm going to make a bold statement right now. Sorry to cut you off, Kuba. You can finish. I'm going to make a bold prediction. If Milan wins a Scudetto, Zlatan Ibrahimovic is going to be the oldest Ballon d'Or winner of the 21st century.
Do you think FIFA would give him that, though? I don't even think FIFA would. Not that
if he's the best player on the team and he's doing what he's doing at 39 years old and he ends up with like 20 plus goals and like 15 or something assists, it's his to lose, especially if they have a good run in the Europa League. Like unless, you know, somebody wins, you know, a quadruple or something, or the treble again, like at Bayern. Like, obviously, if the Ballon d'Or was going to be awarded this season, Lewandowski would be the winner, and they should give him the award because he would have won it anyways, right? But unless somebody does that or scores, you know, breaks a record of Champions League goals or scores 20 goals in a season, or if Borussia Dortmund was to win the Bundesliga and Haaland had like 30 or 40 goals, if Milan wins and they break Juve's streak of 9 titles in a row, and Ibrahimovic has like 20 plus goals and 15 plus assists, he's going to win the Ballon d'Or. I'm seeing this right now.
See, it's the Kawhi Leonard effect. And this was what we were saying last year when the talks of him coming back to Serie A and, you know, Napoli being interested and Milan being interested. And for me, at the time, I thought, especially with what was going on at Napoli with the mutiny, I was like, that would be the perfect signing because he's what that team needs, right? Some confidence, some strength, some presence, some cockiness a little bit, saying, you know what? It's okay to think we're the best. It's okay to go out there and play like it. And that's what he's done with this Milan side, because the quality's always been there. It's they've failed to live up to expectations. And that's no longer the case. And yes, Ibrahimovic is having a massive effect, but the entire team is playing a lot better as a result. And the question now becomes, is this a team that can legitimately win the Scudetto? Because yes, it's still very, very early. And yes, Juventus were missing Cristiano Ronaldo, and you saw just how important he is to that team because he came on and scored within 3 minutes of coming onto the pitch to score the winner this past weekend. But what Milan is able to do, and if they're able to capitalize on Juventus's early season struggles, because I'm willing to bet Juve probably will drop a few more points in the next few weeks as they develop and they still grow under Pirlo. So if Milan can take advantage of that and build a sizable gap, it's not impossible to believe that it's insurmountable. It's going to be interesting to see, but teams like Inter have failed to live up to expectations so far early as well. So they haven't been able to build the gap. They haven't been able to take advantage. And we'll see what happens with the Napoli-Juve ruling, because that could be crucial. I mean, that could be a difference maker of 3 points. So that'll be important to see what happens going forward. But if Milan continue to win games, because that's what they've been doing, aside from their draw against Roma, if they continue to win games, I think this is a team to look out for. And the only thing I question is if I'm Milan, I don't even know if I'm going for it in the Europa League. And maybe that's short-sighted as well. But I see the lineups they're putting on Thursdays, and I'm thinking, why? Why are you playing Zlatan? Like, why did they play Zlatan today? And they got spanked, by the way. But why risk them when you're playing a condensed schedule and you're playing twice a week and you're playing Thursday games and Sunday games? Why? Just why? I don't get that. I'm sorry, I don't.
This Milan team is, if you look at it, these guys are young. Eh? Outside of Ibrahimovic, who's 38 years old, there's a 100%. Lot of youth on this team. And you know what? I think I agree with you 100%. Keep the focus on one competition. I know, Milan has a big and great history in European competitions, but Juve has never been this weak before. This is your chance to capitalize and, like you said, go on a massive run and potentially steal that 10th in a row Scudetto from Juve, which would be, you know, this would put you in the history books. I think that's where you have to focus. And like you said, with a condensed schedule, you know, you gotta, before we said, you know, maybe spread your eggs in a couple of different baskets, you know, between Europa League and Serie A and Coppa Italia and all the other competitions. But I think this year specifically, go for it. Put all your eggs in the one basket. You have Zlatan, who's playing like a 26, 27 year old. This is their year, I feel.
If I'm Milan, I'm going to try to get out of the group stage, and then I'm going to see where I'm at with the Scudetto. Because if you're within touching distance or you're winning come January, February, when the Europa League and the Champions League kicks off again, then you might just put in a B-side. And if you win the games and you move and you advance to the round of 16 and then quarterfinals, amazing. And then obviously if you get to the quarters or semis, you might start playing more of your first team players or the big guns. But if I'm Milan, I'm going to look to see how I am if I'm within touching distance, like I said, or I'm at the top, then I'm going to put all my eggs in the Scudetto basket because, you know, like you said, they have a rich history in Europe. They prefer, obviously, to be in the Champions League. That's what they are known to compete in. And they're going to try to win the Scudetto because I think they want that badly. I think this is the club wants domestic title over European for this year specifically to break, you know, the massive drought that they've had because they haven't won since Juve went on this 9-year streak. And maybe some of these players and maybe some of the guys up top like Maldini and whoever, maybe they're a little bit bitter that Pirlo ended up going to Juve and Pirlo doesn't talk highly about Milan anymore. And he's all about Juve. And now Pirlo is the coach of Juve. It would be a massive FU to Pirlo if Milan was able to stop them. And even though Ibrahimovic is 39 years old, people still doubt him, right? There's still people who talk poorly about him. They say he's arrogant. They say he's this. They say he's that. And maybe he is. But he delivers, right? And he said last year, made a bold statement, if I was here from the beginning of this season, we would have made Champions League and we probably would have won the Scudetto. And if you look and you saw the games and the teams that they beat Juve 4-2 at home. That was a massive game. And they were losing 2-0 at that point. And Ibrahimovic started the comeback. And you can tell he's been able to improve the fitness of other players. His work ethic is second to none. So all these younger players like Rebic, Tonali, Kessie, whoever, they're all benefiting from this. I think a massive move that they did, okay, you can point to the signing Tonali, you can point to re-signing Ibrahimovic, but keeping Pioli was huge for them because it kept somebody who's familiar with the squad. There was consistency. They changed managers all the time. They were still paying managers that they hired 3 or 4 years ago. So key having that consistency, bringing in a winner like Ibrahimovic, keeping Maldini in a role because he was touted to leave as well. You have foundation. You have people that have been at the club for a long time. You have legends in the background. And you have they have an incredible spine of young players. They have Donnarumma, who looks like he's, you know, shaking off those demons that he had and he's been able to win back the crowd and the fans. They have Romagnoli, who's playing extremely well. They have Kessie and Tonali. And then they have Rebic and Bennacer. That's an incredible spine to have. And they're going to be together for the next 10, 11 years. So I think Milan has everything to play for. They have everything to gain. And in my opinion, they're playing with house money. If they lose, oh, we were inexperienced. They have something to fall back on.
Oh, yeah. If they make Champions League, they've lived up to expectations.
100%. Right? So and even exceeded them too.
Yes. So fans will be happy with that. And it will be interesting to see what they do because so far they've been able to pass the tests, right? They've won the Derby. They've got a big game against Napoli coming up. Not this weekend, next weekend. That'll be huge because, again, we're going to see what Napoli is made of because there's been times this season when you look at them and you think this is a legitimate squad that can beat anybody, and then there's times you look at them and question what they're doing and that inconsistency, especially in recent weeks. But with Napoli, it looks like the issue is, and this has been a problem in previous years as well, is when they play teams that sit back, they struggle. When they play teams that'll bring the game to them, that'll play open football, they will control and can dominate. And that's what happened with Atlanta. Atlanta tried, and you know, credit to them, they tried playing an open, they tried playing their brand of football, and Napoli punished them on the counter multiple times. And in recent weeks, we've seen Napoli fail to break down squads. In Europa League action against Rijeka, they actually went down 1-0 before they found the lead to go up 2-1 and eventually win the game. That wasn't the case against Sassuolo, though. Sassuolo deserves a ton of credit, by the way. And Grassi alluded to it a little bit earlier. What they've done this season has just been remarkable, and it'll be interesting to see if they can, you know, compete for a European spot, if anything. But I do believe this is probably, and I said this last year, and I still believe that, and I believe it even more this year, this is by far the best Napoli squad in the De Laurentiis era. Man for man, depth-wise, this squad is there. It's deep, it's talented, and it's a team that can compete, right? I mean, you look up top, the options you have, you know, with guys like Osimhen, who you just brought in, and again, there's question marks. There's times he's looked great, and then there's times he's disappeared. And so as a 21-year-old striker, that's going to happen, and it's going to be interesting to see what he becomes. But this is a Napoli team that defensively, like you mentioned earlier, Gross, kept Koulibaly. They still got Maximovic. Manolas is now there healthy, and the two of them look like they're gelling. You've got a midfield that, with Bakayoko in there, is just full of depth, and honestly, potentially the best midfield in Serie A. So I think the quality's there. It'll be, and Lozano. By the way, Lozano, if anybody, he's by far been the most improved player. He's looked like a different man this year, and that's where you give Gattuso a lot of credit. Because a guy like Lozano was a guy that the skill was always there, the capability was always there, the potential was always there, but he never lived up to it. And Gattuso was very hard on him when he came. And there was times when he was subbing on Onas and Yunus instead of him. And all of a sudden, Lozano is now one of the players that you can't afford to lose. Because now he tracks back. Now he runs and plays defense like nobody else. And so that's where you give Gattuso the credit to make him work for it. And that's what Gattuso brings to this squad. Again, the question will be whether this team can be consistent, because as you all know, the Scudetto is a marathon, not a sprint, and I think it's just going to be a fun race. But I also want to get your thoughts on Inter, because is Inter a team that can really compete for a Scudetto? Because everybody was talking about them as well. Conte got his wish, he got the guys he wanted, but King Arturo hasn't looked like that this year. And this team hasn't been able to live up to expectations in Europe or domestically. Thoughts?
On paper, I would say yes. Seeing their performance in the opening weeks, it's tough to tell. Like you said, he did get Vidal. You know, Lukaku's back for a second season. They were able to keep a hold of Lautaro Martinez, who's, you know, been playing well. Had a great game against Madrid, but at the end of the day, it's still not seen if they can go that extra step. I know Grossi alluded to comparing them to Juve. They're about 99% there. I would argue their midfield is a lot better than Juve's. Even their defense has looked at times better than Juve's. But I just don't know if they have that mentality to get to that next level. I know Conte is a great domestic coach, but it just seems like they're missing something.
They have Barella, Brozovic, Gagliardini, Eriksen, Sensi, Vidal, Nangolan. Their midfield is by far the best midfield in Serie A. They have no excuses, and neither does Conte. He got Hakimi, he got Vidal, he got Eriksen in the winter. Okay, he kept Perisic, or Perisic came back because he was on loan at Bayern Munich. He got Barella, he got his Sensi, they kept Martinez, they broke the bank for Lukaku, they re-signed Sanchez. Conte got everybody he needed and wanted. There are no more excuses. Regardless if Juve has Cristiano Ronaldo and they're the 9-time reigning defending champion, there are no more excuses.
He's also
for
making
you.
$12 million a year, Gross.
Exactly. He's the highest paid manager in Italy and one of the highest paid managers in Europe. By far.
I think Sarri is actually the second highest paid manager right now.
Yes. I think Conte is only behind Diego Simeone, Pep Guardiola. I think he's top five in the world or in Europe for salaries. He gets paid more than every single player in Serie A except for Cristiano Ronaldo, if I'm not mistaken.
That's crazy.
Because I'm not sure if anybody else. I don't know if he makes 12 million net. So forgive me. I'm not sure if he makes 12 million net or if he makes 12 million and then it adds up to 6 point something million.
No, but you know what? That's a very interesting stat. Posey, like, is there a comparable to that in any other sport right now?
I'll have to dig a little deeper.
See, I don't know if he makes 12 million net though, because 12 million net is a pretty high salary. I think it might be 12 million gross and then
Mike Babcock.
Even if he makes 6 to 7 million net per season, you're making more than like 90% of the players in the league. Like, I don't think anybody at Roma makes 7 million net a year. I don't think anybody at Lazio, Sassuolo, at Juve, there's, you know, a couple of players. I think Donnarumma makes 7 million net. I think potentially Ibrahimovic. But so you're there might be, I don't know, 15 players that make more money than you do per season. And you're a manager, like, you're expected to win.
So I'm just looking at a SempreInter.com report. Shout out Nima. Annual salary of 10 million plus 2 million in bonuses. I would believe that is net.
So if he makes 12 million net, he is the second highest earner in the league.
Hold on. Yeah. Inter manager Conte, second highest paid manager on the planet. So Gras, you are
after Diego Simeone.
This is March 24th, 2020. Again, shout out Semper Inter, former Inter midfielder and corner, blah, blah, blah. Simeone, yep, is the highest paid manager on the planet, with him receiving a gross salary of 40.5 million, 10.5 million more than Conte earns.
Yeah, Diego Simeone has a special thing in his contract where he can't, there can be no players on the team that make more money than him. It's a true story.
Wow. So Conte's making like 30 million gross, 10 million, 12 million net.
So Conte is the second highest paid player or second highest paid person in Serie A.
Buddy, I don't think like Koulibaly makes 6 million. You know what I mean? Like that to me.
Koulibaly is a better center back than Conte is manager. With all due respect to Conte and his
100%
and his resume, but Koulibaly is arguably the best center back, best defender in the world.
How does that affect the dressing room too, though? Right, if your manager's like making all this coin, yet you're the one going out there on the field and doing all that.
It gives him a lot of power. Sorry, intern, but it gives him a lot of power. That's the answer, because it was just like you said with Babcock before. Because Babcock knew, look, I'm the highest paid coach. You're paying me more than you're paying anybody else here. I've got this guaranteed contract. I'm not going anywhere. So that's what it does. It gives them more power, which sometimes is a good thing, right? Sometimes that's what you need, right? You need these players to know that, you know what? This is the guy who's controlling the locker room. This is the guy who runs the show. I got to listen to him. But at the same time, it also does affect when you have a team full of superstars. These aren't kids. This is a team. Well, they do got some kids, but this is a team that's supposed to be competing on all fronts. And right now, they're not doing that. You're right, Gross. There's no more excuses. They got everything they wanted. He got everything he wanted.
The season is obviously still young. And, I mean, Inter is only 5 points behind Milan, who is in first. But they have the same amount of points as Napoli, right? And they're only 1 point behind Juve. So, I mean, it's
not... we don't talk about the table right now, Gross.
It's not... Yeah, I know. There's too much... It's a little bit of controversy. It wouldn't be a Serie A season without any controversy. But Inter still obviously has a chance to win the title since we're only seven games on the weekend. So obviously there's still 31, 32 more rounds of games to go. So there's obviously a lot of time. But Inter doesn't look like a cohesive unit right now. And maybe that comes down with Lukaku not playing, because he is probably the most important player on the team. The partnership that he has with Lautaro is incredible. It helped him reach the Europa League finals last year. It helped him come second in the league last year in Serie A. They were incredible together. Whatever money they spent on Lukaku the 80 million was well worth it. But at the same time, Conte broke the club transfer record twice. So you have no more excuses. Considering Juve is not the same team that they were, you can even go back to 3 or 4 years ago, right? This is probably the worst Juve side maybe since the first year Juve won the Scudetto with all of those players together. And if you eliminated Cristiano Ronaldo and you have these aging players and, you know, question marks around players' fitness, this is a pretty bad side.
You get the results that, you know, this team got against Crotone and Hellas Verona. You get that, Juve.
Yeah, it's not a guaranteed win. You don't have somebody to bail you out, right? You don't have that guy, that Messi, that Ronaldo, you know, Lewandowski, Suarez, like the upper echelon players in the world. You don't have those guys. If you eliminate that, where does Juve turn to, especially with all the injuries that they had, right? So if Inter can stay fit, and there should be no excuses, literally none, because this transition that Juve has with now bringing in Pirlo and the players that they brought in, it's not like the Juve when, you know, we got rid of Tevez and Vidal and all those players that one summer after making the Champions League finals in 2015 when Juve started, you know, more than a dozen points behind and ended up winning the title. That Juve side still had Chiellini, Bonucci, Barzagli, Buffon, Marchisio, you know, Pogba to lean on. They still had the spine of their team. And they obviously had Morata still and then a young Dybala, a hungry Dybala. This team doesn't have that quality. First of all, the midfield isn't as good. You know, we spoke about Tonali and Kessié, and then I listed all those players on Inter, and Kuba, you listed those guys on Napoli. All of those players would walk into Juve's starting 11 in that midfield. I can't honestly say that there's one Juve player in the midfield, especially, that would walk into any side in Serie A. Whereas before, Pirlo, Vidal, Marchisio, Pogba, they would have walked into almost any side in Europe, let alone any side in Serie A. There is not one player that's going to do that now. And if you look at Juve from the back to the top, from the goalkeeper to the center forward, how many of those players walk into sides, excluding Cristiano Ronaldo? Maybe Bonucci gets a shout from some teams because he's still living on reputation from before. And obviously, Chiellini's injured, but if he was fit, maybe he would come into a lot of sides. But there's not a lot of players that would walk into any of the top sides in Serie A like there used to be. So there's a lot of teams that don't have excuses anymore. And you alluded to it earlier, Kuba. This is probably Napoli's deepest squad, right? And they had maybe better individual players. Like, obviously, you know, Napoli fans don't want to hear about Higuain, but he was, you know, he's arguably the best individual player in the De Laurentiis era. That season he had, the other seasons he had, there's maybe not a player of that quality of those heights, or even a Lavezzi, right, or a Cavani from before, but this is probably the deepest squad. Koulibaly is arguably the best player under De Laurentiis, right?
Oh, he's the best player Napoli have had since Diego Maradona. I've said that before, and it's not even controversial.
Koulibaly and Higuain are the two best players since Maradona.
Honestly, Gross, and I say even the reason I say even beyond Higuain is because Koulibaly, right now it's difficult to make that argument because he struggled. I think he's back on his verge of being where he once was, but he's not there yet. A couple of seasons ago, I think you could have made the argument he was the best in the world.
At his position, for sure.
And I don't think you could have ever said that with Higuain in his position. And so that's why, and even with Cavani. Like, Cavani was magical when he was there. But it's the same thing. You know, so I think Koulibaly is just something nobody else has been. Not even Hamzik, not Higuain, just that for me. And so that's why keeping him this year was huge. It really was their best transfer that you were able to hold on to Koulibaly. And again, it's just going to be interesting to see what that squad does. And I'm excited. I think it's going to be a fun season. Before we go, Gizmo, I want to get your thoughts. Any predictions? Any curiosities? What's going on in the brain of yours, man?
I had, not to double it back over to the situation regarding Paulo Dybala, but one thing that, you know, was like sticking in my head during the topic when Grassi and Intern and you guys were going on about it was, for someone who's asking for that amount of money, call it maybe 15 to close to 18 million or...
Sorry, now that we have that, Gizmo, go give your thought, but just put that into context. He's asking for Antonio Conte money.
Okay, so if you're asking for that amount of money, and what Intern alluded to before was he has a hard time, you know, playing in a system that doesn't suit him. If you're asking for that kind of money, shouldn't you be the player that's able to adapt to at least a few systems, and you can't rely on, I need to be in this only, like, and I need to be in only one position?
It's a good point.
Because that's something that, because it you can ask for, okay, maybe even half of what Ronaldo makes, but Ronaldo's able to play on the wing. He's able to play in the center of attack. With Dybala, it's like he kind of needs that free role to be able to collect the ball and bring it forward, but he also needs to play closer to the net. So you're kind of thinking, okay, why am I going to pay this guy like double when I can get two players to do one position really well, right?
That's the question then, Gizmo, is if you're Juventus then, and if you're Dybala, is this the time to say, you know what, this sometimes it's time to go your separate ways, the relationship's over, and it's nobody's fault, but you know.
Oh, like, and I love Dybala, like I have his jersey and a picture of him hanging up on my wall in my home, like where I chill. But I think it's hit the point where, look, no hard feelings, but it's not working out. And even if you look into the future, like what you would, the money you would generate from Dybala, you'd be able to invest into even more younger players, because Dybala, I feel like we can hold to the same standard as the way people hold Paul Pogba at Manchester United. He's 27 years old now. Why are you buying players to quote-unquote unlock them? You either, you're a star or you're not.
I'm glad you saved that. I'm glad you said that. Now, I was almost going to forget, but I didn't, thankfully. Gross, I think you've got some news to share, and it has nothing to do with Dybala.
Or the election right now.
Or the election, and I am curious to see what people's thoughts were on Twitter. So throughout the show, I hope you did tweet us. And if you're, again, if you're listening to this, please do. And this is your last chance, to take a guess. But Grassi does have some interesting news.
I'm not sure exactly, but we will be, my beautiful wife and I will be introducing a new Juventus fan in a couple of months. So we're excited. We're adding to our family. The Stereo Serie A family is growing.
And,
nice.
Thank you. Yeah, we're excited. We can't wait. There is a due date, but whenever, you know, the baby decides to come, the baby comes. But within the next couple of months, we will be adding another member to our Stereo Serie A and Grassi family.
Congratulations, buddy.
Yes, that's very good news. I mean,
attaboy, Gross.
You know, 2020 has been a shitty year, but it's good to hear news like that. It is definitely good to hear news like that. I also want to say, Low Pop, we miss you, buddy. Low Pop couldn't join us today. The sports caddy himself. Hopefully, he'll be with us next time. You know, things come up, work comes up, life comes
and
up.
And we can, sorry to cut you off, we will tweet in a couple of days the way I showed everybody that we would be introducing a new Stereo Serie A fan to the world. There's a great story behind it. The next podcast we have, I'll say the full story, but we'll just do a little teaser and I'll show you the picture.
I also think there's a great sponsorship opportunity there.
I think so too.
Yeah, we need to get in touch with that those people.
They make excellent pastries.
Shout out.
Thank you for listening. Thanks, everybody, for staying with us, because I know we have not been anywhere near as consistent as we once were doing this, but we still do love to do this, and we appreciate you giving us the opportunity to do so. So I have been your host, Marco Cubani D'Onofrio.
As always, Donato G.
Marco the Intern.
Producer Gizmo.
Bows.
Bozy Bows. I know it's so weird not doing this in person. I'm sorry. Like, it is so weird not being able to do this in person, and hopefully we will be able to do it in person once again soon, because doing it online is just not the same. So we miss everybody. I miss you guys, and we're done. Peace.
Vieni via con me. Entra in questo amore buio, non perderti per niente al mondo. Via, via, non perderti per niente al mondo. Lo spettacolo d'arte varia di uno innamorato di te. Yeah. It's wonderful, it's wonderful. Good luck my baby, it's wonderful, it's wonderful. I dream of you, chips, chips, chips. Da-ti-do-di-do, chi-bo, chi-bo-bo. Da-ti-do-di-do, chi-bo, chi-bo-bo. Da-ti-do-di-do.